KFAR salutes KENI. This is Alan Walker at KFAR, Fairbanks, Alaska. Today we proudly salute a new and shining sister station of the Midnight Sun Broadcasting Company. KFAR salutes radio station KENI on its first day on Earth Day. Today the city of Fairbanks and the staff of station KFAR extend a hand of welcome across the Alaska Range. Since October 1st, 1939, those of us who have become associated with the Midnight Sun Broadcasting Company have been impressed repeatedly with the fact that nowhere in the world does the broadcaster have a better opportunity to serve his listeners. As a sounding board for news, entertainment, and special events, Alaska cannot be surpassed. And as a salute to KENI during its first few hours of operation, we are about to thumb back through some of the most interesting pages of our history. KFAR's Special Events Department has worked hand in hand with the United States Army, originating many programs in connection with nearby Ladd Field. For example, when B-29 operations in interior Alaska were of much local interest, KFAR went aloft like this.
Hello, everyone. This is Al Bramstead speaking to you from a B-29 warming up at the east end of the airstrip at Ladd Field. The purpose of this broadcast from a B-29, exactly the same type of aircraft as the famed Bakuzin Dreamboat, is to let the people of Alaska become a little better acquainted with the men who fly the B-29s, and also to tell something of the equipment they use. While we're in flight, we intend to do some roving about with our microphone inside the ship here, talking to the men, getting some information about their work, about the job they're here to do. To be more specific about my location, I'm in the forward compartment of the B-29 called the Nanook Special. That name, Nanook, comes from the name of the project which they were originally intended to do here in Alaska. I'm right behind the plexiglass. I certainly have a ringside seat for this trip. I'm in the front compartment right behind the bombardier's equipment. Now, I notice that pilot Major Hallberg is going to arrange for the takeoff with the Ladd Field Tower, so perhaps we'd better listen to that.
Ladd Tower, this is Army 763, over.
763,
Ladd Tower, this is 763. Waiting for takeoff clearance, over.
Seven six three,
roger.
Okay, the engines have been warmed up and we're just about to go. They're revving up the engines. In just a few seconds, we expect to be over the city of Fairbanks. Those of you in town who are listening to this broadcast perhaps can identify this B-29 by the black painted underside. Now we're gaining speed. We're seated right behind the plexiglass, looking straight ahead in the bombardier's compartment, right behind the bomb site. We have a sort of a lifting sensation. We have the idea that just about any moment now, the wheels will be off the ground, off the Ladd Field airstrip. Not quite yet, however, not quite yet.
120, 125.
Now I can feel that we've lifted off the airstrip and we are airborne. We're in the air. The wheels are coming up. You can perhaps hear the gearing of the wheels coming up. Now I'll explain the terrain, because perhaps some of the listeners will be interested. They know the terrain so well. Passing over the Ladd Field Road at the west end of the field. Now we're right over the top of the Chena River. Over the flat on the other side of the Chena River, opposite the Ladd Field Road. We can see the town over there in the distance. We can see the smoke. Now the federal building in town is visible. We've passed a bend of the Chena River and we're crossing the Chena again. We can see a little ice on the edges of the Chena. Over a number of buildings, there's a log cabin down below us.
And so, by shortwave, our listeners were taken for a B-29 ride over their own houses and out across the Tanana Valley. The paratroop activities of last winter's famous Task Force Frigid also drew much attention. And KFAR was on hand on more than one occasion to describe the jumps for the NBC Alaskan audience. Here's a bit as heard in New York.
We are approaching the drop zone right now. And in just a few seconds of time, the skis will go overboard. The captain, there go the skis. There goes the captain. Now they're off. Every one of them. Half the stick is gone already. They're letting out their yells. They leap into the cold. Here comes a blast of wind. They're off. There goes the bushmaster, the last. And the plane is empty. Here is Ed Stevens on the ground.
There we are down on the ground once again. Yes, here come all these parachutists raining down on us right now. It's really a tremendous spectacle out here to watch these parachutists come down. They're all dressed up in white uniforms, and they stand out very brilliantly against a very blue sky. Their parachutes are of a khaki color, a yellow, a dark brown olive drab color, and they're now approaching the ground. The first one just lit on the ground just then. There goes the second one, the third one, and practically all of them are down. There is one who is about 10 feet off the ground, and it looks like they all made very nice landings out there. They're all getting up, and the chutes, of course, are drifting in the wind, and as the wind comes along and blows them over just a little bit. They landed in the snow. Here comes the second plane over. The second plane is now disgorging its contents, and they're up there about 1,000 feet and just drifting down right now. All the chutists of the first plane are down on the ground right now, and they're slipping out of their harnesses.
The Navy, too, has cooperated with us in the field of special events. Last summer, a KFAR wire recorder and two announcers were flown to Point Barrow to broadcast the northernmost radio program in history. The presentation told the story of the Navy's oil development in the Barrow region and included a real-life description of the greatest concentration of ships and men ever afloat in the Arctic.
This is Al Bramstedt speaking to you from the deck of the USS Seminole, flagship of the 1947 supply expedition to Point Barrow, Alaska. We're afloat in the Arctic Ocean. About 10 miles across the frigid waters to the north of me is the treacherous shifting polar ice cap, and looking to the south about 1 mile, I see the low line of the sandy shore of Point Barrow and a bedlam of creaking cranes and mountains of packing cases and machinery. Point Barrow, you know, is the northernmost habitation on the American continent, the last contact with civilization for all major exploratory expeditions that have conquered the North Pole and other Arctic regions. Yesterday morning early, four heavily laden amphibious cargo ships dropped anchor in the roadstead here off Barrow, and a fifth is expected soon. The waters are somewhat rough at the moment, and the wind is blowing briskly. The U.S. Navy Petroleum Reserve No. 4, 35,000 square miles of Arctic wastes set aside for a search for oil, depends on this expedition for a year's supply of the necessities of work and existence. These ships are welcomed, too, by several hundred Eskimo inhabitants of the Arctic coast who months ago ordered everything from outboard motors to apple butter. First, I'd like to talk to the man who's responsible for guiding this fleet through the narrow corridor between the northern extremities of the continent and the restless frozen surface of the Arctic Ocean. His name is Commodore Byron S. Anderson, and he comes from Coronado, California. Commodore Anderson, when did you begin preparing for this mission?
We began preparing for the expedition in April. In May, we started assembling the...
Every Alaskan knows of the three big fires that raged in Fairbanks in recent years. In January of 1946, a blaze that began in Smith Gun Store quickly consumed a large section of the town's business district. In May of that same year, the Northern Hotel and nearby buildings were destroyed. And on Christmas Eve of 1946, fire destroyed the NC Garage and the Fairbanks Telephone Company. On each occasion, our regular schedule was set aside, and a full description of the march of the flames was given to our listeners from the location of the fire. For example, here's a transcribed bit of the description from the Northern Hotel fire.
The Northern Hotel looked comparatively unburned, but now those thin plates are buckling almost visibly, the flames shooting out of them. So far, there has been no opportunity to play a hose on that part of the flame, and that is burning at will. Of course, it's necessary to keep the concentration on the front end of the hotel because it's there that the flames are the thickest, the smoke the thickest. There are heavy streams of water from the hoses on First Avenue, and occasionally they break through the roof and send their spray up 100 or 200 feet into the air. It makes quite an aerial display. Now, ahead of us, the fire is still burning in the interior, It looks completely gutted from this part of it. And the fire appears to be working toward the rear end of the Northern Hotel as well. Now, finally, there's a heavy play of water from a hose at the front of the street, playing on that particular part of the interior and seeming to make some damage to the fire itself, putting it out.
Rube, Chuck Wells just took a cursory trip around the scene of the fire, made a circular trip around the whole scene of the fire, and he also got up on the roof along with the fireman and had a talk with one of the men who was directing activities up there. And we don't have a vantage point of the roof on the other side of the Northern Hotel. At this point, we can't see. However, according to Chuck's information, there are three or four gaping holes burnt in the roof on the other side. And according to the...
Switching from the Northern Hotel fire to cool weather, the interior Alaskan weather really merits talking about. KFAR was the first Alaskan radio station to bring its listeners direct wire weather reports, recent and authoritative, direct from the United States Weather Bureau. And if you don't think our local weather is interesting, listen to this routine report of forecaster Wes Orendorf. The date of the recording, February 4th, 1947.
Good morning. This is the U.S. Weather Bureau office in Fairbanks. Orendorf speaking. The weather map this morning shows the storm in the Gulf of Alaska moving on east into Canada, bringing heavy snow to southeastern Alaska. Interior Alaska will get no relief from this storm as was hoped yesterday, but there is now a storm in the Aleutians headed directly in our direction, which will start causing high clouds and warmer temperatures in interior Alaska by tomorrow morning. Let me repeat this momentous forecast. The cold weather will be over tomorrow morning. Tonight will mark the last of the extremely cold weather, and it'll be cloudy and much warmer in interior Alaska tomorrow. After putting out so many foggy and cold forecasts, we're beginning to wonder if it was ever going to warm up again. But the evidence seems unmistakable this time. The cold wave is definitely over. There are still pretty cold temperatures through today and tonight, however. Snag, the cold spot of North America, was 74 below zero at midnight, but has been warming up since then. Santa Cruz is now 67 below zero. Santa Cruz was the coldest spot in Alaska last night, with a minimum temperature of 72 below zero occurring early this morning. Temperatures to the west of Fairbanks are a little warmer this morning, with several stations reporting temperatures in the 30s, although McGrath and Galena are exceptions, with temperatures of minus 61 and minus 59, respectively. Ice fog still prevails to the east and northeast of Fairbanks, but very little is reported to the west or southwest of Fairbanks. Skies are clear everywhere except a few high, thin clouds to the east and in the Bethel area to the southwest. Now here's the forecast for Fairbanks vicinity. Continued cold and foggy through tonight, but cloudy and much warmer tomorrow. Highest temperature this afternoon, minus 36. Lowest temperature tonight, minus 47. And highest temperature tomorrow, minus 15. Present temperature is 52 below zero. Next weather broadcast will be tonight at 9:35.
Every Alaskan station has an unusual opportunity in broadcasting of music by many talented residents of the territory. And in the community spirit, we present the Fairbanks Elks Quartet and Blue Tail Fly.